We're going to jump right into our message. And our message this morning is how I praise. How I praise. We sang a song, that new song is entitled How I Praise. So, you know, I just said, well, I'm going to just take the name of that song and use it. You know what I'm saying? So it's How I Praise. Because, you know, I think that in America, we have got confused about what praise is. What worship is to the Lord. And how do I praise? How am I supposed to praise? And so we're going to be talking about that this morning. In Psalm chapter 34, verse 1, it says this right here. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will continually speak his praises. So I want you to take that. That's our scripture. Now, I've got a ton of scripture for you. You know how I am. I got a ton of scripture, but I want you to take that scripture, and if you don't remember any other scripture from this morning, I want you to write down Psalms 34:1, and I want you to think about it all week long. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. All right? Y'all got that? Y'all got that down? Y'all got it ready? Because here's where we're going to go with it this morning, that we are going to praise the Lord at all times. Can you say all? Ready? All. All times. We're going to praise the Lord at all times. All right, let's pray for a minute. Can we? Let's pray over this message because I just want God to get it into your spirit and your soul. Lord, I just thank you this morning for this group of people. Lord, there's so many other things they could be doing this morning, but they took time out for you, God. Lord, they took time out for you. So, Lord, I pray that this message will be a message that the hearers want to hear and want to take into their soul and their spirit. And that they'll walk out of here, Lord, encouraged and excited. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, after last week, I know last week was a really tough message, a really hard message, but it's what we need. We have to have the truth. The truth will set you free, right? This week, I hope that I can encourage you, and I hope that you walk out of here very excited about what God wants to do in your life. So the first question is, what is praise? What is praise? And you'll see it up here on the screen. Praise is expressing approval of or admiration for God, okay? It's expressing approval of or admiration for God, and it's also expressing respect and gratitude for God. Now, here's the interesting thing, is you can go into the scriptures, and you can find hundreds of places where people have praised. Now, I wasn't going to spend all morning giving you every one of them because we wouldn't have got out of here. But you can see how they praise. You can look at David. You can look at Jacob. You can look at Moses. I mean, you can look at many, many people throughout the scriptures and see the things that they said. So it's a good thing to read your Bible and to go through your Bible because you go, well, I just need Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I'm good. There's so much more to the scripture than the Gospels. And you go, I don't need that Old Testament. I may halfway agree with you when it comes to Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy because, man, that is some rough reading right there. You know what I'm saying? If you had to skip over that once in a while, that's okay. But there are great things to learn in the scripture so we read it. Now, so we know that praise is expressing approval or admiration for God or respect and gratitude towards God. But here's the interesting thing with us is that in the culture that we live in, the American language that we live in, we always use one word and it means 1,000 different things. The word love, right? Love can mean so many different things. You say, boy, I love my car. I love my wife. Your wife is hoping that it's a different kind of love than the car, right? She hopes, yeah. So I love my car. I love my wife. It's two different things. We know there's different types of love in the Greek, but we're not going to get into that. But I want to talk to you about these three words right here this morning, and towards the end, I'm going to give you the definitions of these words. But in the Hebrew, there are more than just one word for praise, okay? There's, and I probably ain't saying these right, there's halal, yada, and zamar. And if I say them wrong, you can tell me later. Halal, yada, and zamar. So we're going to go through this morning, and as you hear what the scripture is saying to us about praise, you will understand more why the word praise is different. It's not always exactly the same. So how do I praise the Lord? Number one, we're going to learn this morning that we praise the Lord with our lips. We praise the Lord with our lips. And our scripture is Psalms 150, verses 1 through 2. 150, verses 1 through 2. And it says this right here. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with your lips. You got to open your mouth to praise the Lord. You know, I see so many people that are like, oh, I'm praising God, but I'm sitting still. My mouth is shut. And it's like, okay, maybe I can understand if you're under guard in North Korea, you may not be able to say it out loud. But even the Chinese will sing in their churches a lot of times. They'll sing in their churches, but they'll sing silently. You see, sing that song, How I Praise. They do that because they don't want to get in trouble, but they are praising with their lips. And so we need to praise the Lord with our lips, and we can praise God for his sanctuary and his mighty heaven and everything that he's given us and his works and his unequal greatness. We praise him in everything, but we use our lips to do that. And today we go, well, why would we do that? Because he tells us to. He wants us to. He wants us to sing his praises and to speak of his praises to him. Secondly, praise with instruments. Praise with instruments. And if you grew up in a church where they didn't praise with instruments and they made some excuse, let me tell you, the scriptures are full of praising the Lord with instruments. Can I say this? It doesn't matter the style of music. What matters is the heart and the words behind the music. Okay, the hearts and the words. Because as a matter of fact, I can sing an old hymn and it means nothing if my heart isn't into it. I can sing a new song. It doesn't matter if my heart isn't in it and the Spirit of God isn't coming out of my heart and worshiping God. So it doesn't matter the style. We can praise the instruments. And that's what Psalms 153 through 5 says. Praise him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. So on a drum set, you have different sounding cymbals. You got a ride, which has a lower sound, and you got a crash, which has a higher sound. You've got the hi-hat. It's got a little bit different sound. All the drums are different. And depending on what part of the world you go to, the instruments are different in what they use in worship a lot of times. Okay, the way we worship here and the way we sing here may be totally different than in Africa, or like I said, in China, or maybe in Britain. It could be totally different. It doesn't matter how it sounds. What matters is what is coming from us. And so we can praise God on every instrument that he gives us. Now, you go, well, he says, praise him on the lyre and the harp. So are we supposed to have that in church? No, he's just giving an example. Here's all the things that you could praise God on. Christy and I went to a thing at UCA one time, and they did music. It was all auto body parts. I mean, brakes, drums, from a car, not drums like these, drums from a car. I mean, all these different things. It was the coolest thing, but they all made sounds. And together, it was beautiful. So we can praise God any way we want to, on any kind of instrument that we want to. But what does he say? He says, praise him with the instruments. Praise him with our lips. Praise him with the instruments. Psalms 150 in verse 6, the last one in that Psalms 150 says, let everyone that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Sing praises. So on a Sunday morning, you come in and go, I don't know how to sing. He didn't say, do you know how to sing? Then sing. He said, let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. What did I tell you the scripture says? He says, make a joyful noise. He didn't say make a harmonious noise. He said, make a joyful noise. I say this, sometimes though your joyful noise is in the pew, because you prefer to have the harmonious singers on the platform, okay? I'm not saying I'm harmonious. I try to get there sometimes. But you go, well, I can't be on the platform and sing. It's very interesting. Church, for hundreds and hundreds of years, the congregation didn't sing. It really wasn't until Martin Luther came along and started writing hymns that the church began to sing. Because before that, it was only the choir. It was only the good people that were singing. And he came along and wrote it, and then congregational singing came about. And then here we are today, where choirs aren't nearly as popular as they used to be. I love choirs. I'm going to have one day. I want to have a praise choir. But choirs aren't as popular. Why? Because you, the congregation, become the choir. You get to sing the praises of God. And don't worry if somebody next to you is standing there and they what they think about your singing. If they don't like your singing, they can move over somewhere, two chairs over, and not listen, okay? All right, don't worry about what they think about your singing. Now, I've given you some of the simple ones, right? Praise with our lips. Praise with an instrument. Praise with singing. I could do that. Oh, this next one, this is a little scary, except for Connie. It's not scary to Connie and Harmony out there. Praise with dancing. Praise with dancing. Well, that can be very difficult. I'm not talking about, you know, you got to break dance. You got to know what you're doing, you know. You ever just get excited about something? And you say, oh, yeah, man. Oh. You know, praise with dancing. God wants us to move. He wants to see us. He wants to see us moving for him. And people will see that too. I'm getting ahead of myself. Psalms 149:3 says, let them praise his name with dancing. You got that? You're like, uh-oh, preacher's saying I got to dance. Yeah, you need to move a little bit. Let God see you. And I'm not, again, you may not have rhythm. I don't, you know, I may not dance very well myself, but I can bounce a little bit, you know. That might be my dancing, right? I can bounce a little bit. Harmony over there, she can do all the twirls and everything else, you know. The girls can do that thing where they jump up and down like that, you know. I don't care what it looks like. We need to praise the Lord. We need to be exuberant with the way that we praise God. Praise in the congregation. Notice I said singing earlier. Here's what he says. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. I will praise you in the great assembly. Not a little thing at home. I will praise you in the great assembly. I will fulfill my vows in the presence of those who worship you. So the psalmist is saying, I'm going to praise in the open, in the public, in the congregation. I'm going to praise. I'm going to sing. I'm going to dance. I'm going to shout. I just want to say, God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're great. And this is how I praise you, God, in the congregation. See, I know a lot of you. You're at home, and that Hillsong song comes on. You start singing it. I know you are. I'm a child of God, you know. Or some other song comes on. Toby Mac's song comes on. You start singing it, you know. You know, you start singing it. But then you come to church, and you're like, listen. We're supposed to praise God in the sanctuary of the congregation, of the people who worship him. We're supposed to sing his praises among the people. Hey, how about this? Anybody ever went to an NFL game? I'm the only one in here who's been to an NFL game. Anybody went to a Razorback game? Okay. We got a few of us in here. We've been to a Razorback game. Whew. I was like, I'm losing it. We're just going to shut this whole service down. When you go to a Razorback game, no matter who they're playing, when you start the game, right? At least the first quarter, you know, you're excited. Do you look around? Do you see people in that stadium up there? Do you see 70,000 people sitting on their rear ends going, well, I hope we win. I think we're pretty good, but I'm not going to say anything. No. They're like, woo! Oh, here we go. You ready? I saw it coming right there. You ready? Woo! Pig Suey! Okay, that's enough. All right. We're getting way off track here. But you know what I'm saying? Boy, you get into it, and then you do the wave. That's the dance, right? You get the wave, woo, and it goes all around the stadium, and it comes again. Oh, yeah. And everyone's like, get up. You missed the last one. Come on, man. You can't break the wave. But then we come to church, we're like, Yeah, God's did a lot of great things for me, but I can't show it. Man, somebody might think I'm weird, but I'll go, and nobody thinks I'm weird. Oh, my goodness. When we love God, we want to praise him, and we want to show him how much we love him. We want to praise him amongst the brothers and the sisters in the congregation. We want to dance, and we want to shout, and we want to sing. We don't want Connie to be the only one, right? We want to be all part of it. Now, I'll tell you something. If you get out of hand, I'll let you know, but you're probably not going to get out of hand because I know that some of us are afraid we're going to throw our hip out if we dance too much, okay? So I know it's going to be all right. So we've talked about how we praise with instruments, how we praise with our lips, how we praise with singing, how we praise with dancing, how we praise in the midst of a large congregation of people. And let me tell you something. If you've ever been to a stadium full of Christian men singing "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," went to Promise Keepers in San Antonio like 20 years ago, all those men singing together, our voices lifted in unity together is powerful. It's powerful. You need to remember that. It's powerful. Say, well, I don't know if I can praise this morning because, you know, somebody cut me off on the way to church. Or I had some problems at work this week and I just, oh, you know what? I made a mistake and I did things I wasn't supposed to. I can't praise God. What I say earlier, the Holy Spirit is a comforter. He loves us, and he knows that we're not perfect. And that's why we praise him, because my salvation is not based on me. My salvation is based on what Jesus did on the cross. That's what my salvation is based on. And my joy isn't based on how I feel. My joy is based on who is inside of me and who lives inside of me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It lifts me up. So, our next one, I've given you a lot of points this morning, but they're little bitty ones, okay? So I know you're going to remember them all. The next one is we're supposed to praise sacrificially. We're supposed to praise sacrificially. Praising sacrificially. See what it says here. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, "Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name." Sacrifice of praise to God. What's a sacrifice of praise? A sacrifice is when I don't feel like it. Or a sacrifice is, I've got this much praise, but I'm going to take it just a little further. I'm going to take it a little bit higher, a little bit stronger. I want to go a little bit deeper in with that praise, even though I don't feel like it right now. I like what Connie says. When she starts getting down, she'll just do a praise dance all by herself in her house. Let me tell you something. When I'm going down the road and I start to feel, I'm just like, man, I'm aggravated or something's going on in my life. You want to know what I do? I will turn up a song like "How I Praise." I will turn up a song like "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." I'll turn up a song that says something about the Lord, and I will begin to praise him. Sometimes I will look out my window when I'm driving down the road, and I'll see the beauty of God's majesty. And even though things aren't great, I'll say, God, I just praise you for your heavens, for your majesty. And boy, what a change starts coming in and how you feel differently when that starts to happen. And when somebody gets on your nerves, you go, God, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you through this right now because, God, I've got people around me who love me. God, I'm going to praise you because I got a home to go to. There are many things we can praise God for, even though the struggle may be real at that time. This morning, you may be struggling with something, but that's okay. You can praise God through it. You can praise God for it. You can say, God, greater is he. Greater are you than he that is in the world, than the things around me that is in the world, because you have overcome. Therefore, I'm an overcomer. So I praise you for who you are. And when you do that, you will begin to feel the Holy Spirit moving inside of you. And you will start going, wait a minute. You know what praise does? When we begin to praise, we begin to say, God, you've got it under control. My problems are no longer mine. They are yours. You've got it under control. And here's the deal. When you, that first scripture that we read, 34 verse 1, he says, I will praise the Lord at all times. It will constantly be on my lips. It will constantly be in my heart. David was going through a very difficult time when he said this. He had enemies on all sides of him. He had Saul that was coming against him. He had the Philistines that were, he had all kinds of problems going on. He didn't really have a place to go. I mean, as a matter of fact, at this time, the scripture says it was so bad that he acted like a crazed lunatic because he's afraid of what was going to happen to him when he was brought before one of the heads of state, is what I'll call it. The Bible says he acted so crazed that he had spit running down into his beard, and the guy says, what is he bringing? What are you bringing him for? This is just a lunatic. We don't care what's been said about him. He's dumb. He says, even in all of this turmoil and all of this struggle, I praise you continually. I praise you. I praise you. See, that's the difficult part for us. But you want to know something? The context that you live in, you can look over and you can see somebody else is going through something more difficult than you. There is a pastor in China this last week or two. He's been to the United States. In 2006, he was here, and he was able to meet with President George W. Bush in 2006. But a few months ago, they raided his church, and 50 of his people are either serving some kind of sentence or have had things happen to him. He didn't even get a public trial. In China, he didn't get a public trial. He was sentenced to 9 years in prison. 9 years in prison. See, your context, look at your context and where you're at right now and say, well, you know, God, maybe I can praise you at this moment. Because this pastor over here, he's not giving up. What happened? What happened when the two apostles were down there in the prison? And they began to praise God. They began to sing praises to God. The Bible says that it was the earthquake and the magnitude of it was so great that every one of the cells opened up, that they were able to walk out of there free men. And then what happened out of their praise? Skip the next one and go to praise. Put this one on here. Praise, how you praise is your testimony. Did I get that one in there? How you praise is your testimony. When these men worship the Lord that way, the jailer came to Christ. Because the testimony came out of their praise. Look what the Lord has done. You remember that song, Look What the Lord Has Done? He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. It was just in time. That's the praise that we get to offer up. And when we do that, it is a testimony of what God is doing and has done and is going to do in your life. When somebody looks at you and they see you and they say, man, they're going through a struggle, but instead you're saying, praise God. Man, God is good. Boy, God, I just love God. He's just great. They go, wow, who is this person? What is this person? And when you begin to praise like that, people see it on you. Even if they don't hear you praise, they see it on you. I was at a store Friday. I was very busy Friday. It was a blessed day. It was very difficult and hard. Should have had Jason out there. Man, I had so many loads of 2,200 pounds running here and there. And the last one I had to unload all by hand. It was ridiculous. I unloaded a lot of stuff. My truck's, praise God for my truck. Man, it's been a great Chevy. Yes, amen. It may look beat up, but man, I'll tell you what, those Chevys, they just keep on going. But anyway, back to where I was at. I walk in, and the lady there, her name's Peyton. She's like, well, we got this and that. I says, great, awesome. Smile on her face. She goes, you know, every time you come in here, you just always are got a smile. It doesn't matter what we tell you, you got going. You're just like, sure, let's do it, with a smile on your face. And she says, nothing against these other guys, but a lot of those other guys, they come in here, and you never know. They're like, oh, okay, you know. But you always got a smile. That is God in me. So there's a song that we're going to be doing here in a month or two, and it's called So Good. And I had listened to that song, because I had to go to Russellville. I'd listened to that song over, it's about 4 minutes long. I'd listened to it from Little Rock all the way to Russellville over and over and over, all right? And it just, man, it was got me pumped, you know, God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You know, it's a very fast, pumped up song. Y'all are going to enjoy it when we do it. And I go in there, and man, what's going on? What's already in my life is coming out of my face, and people are seeing that, and they're going, man, this is great. This is great. It becomes your testimony. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit here. There's going to be a little reading here, but I've got to read this story because here's our next one. Praise is your weapon of mass destruction. Praise is your weapon of mass destruction. And I think everybody knows what a weapon of mass destruction is. You remember Hiroshima? You remember the atomic bomb? You remember, we could go through a lot of, a weapon of mass destruction destroys so much. Look at what, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 3, and then 20 through 26. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Midianites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. A vast army, a huge army. They are already at Hazon Tamar. Jehoshaphat was terrified. Get that? Jehoshaphat was terrified. I want you to realize this before we read the other part. The other part's great. I want you to realize that Jehoshaphat was terrified. You go, sometimes it's so difficult to praise because you're terrified about the situation. A person who has been told they have cancer can be terrified about the situation. A person who's had something happen with their child can be terrified about the situation. You go through it, you've probably been through a situation in your life where you were terrified about the situation. But it says, Jehoshaphat was terrified by the news and begged the Lord for guidance, and ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. Now jump to verses 20 through 26 and read what happens here. It says, early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets and you will succeed. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. Man, I tell you what, this gets me excited. I don't know about you. He sent singers out. He didn't send people with swords. He sent singers out before praising him for his holy splendor. You want to know why we start our services off with singing? Because it's weapon of mass destruction. I believe God's going to help you get over whatever by the time we get to the preaching part of it so you can receive what God has, okay? So he says he sent singers out and give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever is what they were singing. They were praising God. Now listen to this. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, three armies, a large fighting group, to start fighting amongst themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground. As far as they could see, not a single one of the enemy had escaped. He was terrified. You go, I can't praise God because I'm terrified. He ain't gonna listen. No, God listens to you in the hardest of moments when you begin to praise him and you begin to exalt him and you begin to lift him up. When you're terrified, he's there. King Jehoshaphat and his men, now after all of this, they see all these dead bodies. Every one of them were destroyed. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could even carry. There was so much plunder, it took them 3 days to collect it. It is a weapon of mass destruction. And when God destroys your enemy, he gives you the plunder, okay? I know you're looking at some rough things in your life, and you're dealing with some rough things in your life, but let me tell you something. You praise God, and in the end, it's not just that he just takes care of that situation, but he gives you from that situation. He gives to you. It says, on the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. It is still called the Valley of Blessing today. So they praised and thanked him. Notice, they didn't wait till after the victory to praise. See, we got this idea that we're supposed to wait till after the victory to praise. No, we're supposed to praise before the victory. How many times we read in the scriptures that the praisers, that the singers, that the musicians went in advance? It's not like the Revolutionary War where they had drummers, you know. No, they sent them in advance because when God's in the middle of it, he can do things that we could never imagine. And so I know it's difficult. I know it could be difficult, but you need to praise. You go, I just don't even know where my relationship is with God. I don't know if I can pray. Let me tell you something. He hears your praises no matter how close you are or how far off you are from him. You begin to praise him, and he hears it. And it's a sweet savor to his ear. There's a song that says, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. And it says, a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Your praise is a sweet sound to God. You see, God created you to have a relationship with him. And God created you to have a great life for him. I'm not saying we're not going to go through some difficult times. But we praise God in spite of the situation. And we say, God's going to take it. And God's going to do what he's supposed to with it. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to glorify him. And when we begin to praise him, we stop thinking about ourselves. You want to know when we can't praise God? It's because we're really more concerned about ourselves than we are about God. We're more concerned about what's going on in our life and how am I going to fix it. But when we get to praise God, God says, so you're going to let me deal with this, are you? You're going to let me fix this. Jehoshaphat could have stayed terrified and they wouldn't have won. You get that? Jehoshaphat could have stayed terrified, and they would not have won. We see that throughout the scripture when David struggled with this, and the Israelites many times struggled with when it was all about them, and they would lose battles. But when they made it all about God, they won. If God be for you, who can be against you? Not even yourself. Because sometimes we're our own worst enemy. Because we like to stab ourselves in the back and the side and punch ourselves. Man, I'm no good. I can't do nothing right. I can't do nothing right. God says, no. You just praise me. We're not going to play it. There's a song by Planet Boom. It's Praise Over Problems. That's what I want to say this morning. We want to praise over problems. And I've given you the list. I've told you everything that you're supposed to do. How do I praise in all of this? I praise with my lips. I praise with instruments. I praise with singing and dancing. I praise in the midst of this congregation. I sacrificially give praise to God. These are the things. These are the ways. Now, I told you when we started out, I was going to tell you what those three words meant. Because when we read the Bible, we need to take the Bible and we need to apply it to our life. A lot of times we read the Bible and we go, that's good. That was good for them. But, I don't want to do that. I just want to go to church and go home. I'm cool. Yeah. I'll drive down the road and I'll listen to my music and I'll be good, but, So, what does it mean? Halal. The root meaning is connected to making a noise. No, what did I say earlier? Make a joyful noise. You can't praise by being quiet. I'm sorry, you just can't. Husband, if your wife comes in the room and you're like, she's going to be like, what'd you say? And then the next day says, why are you always on me? I was giving you praise yesterday. What are you talking about? I didn't hear you say nothing. I told you did such a good job. I'm really proud of you. Well, I didn't hear you. It takes a little bit of noise, okay? You got to put it out there. They want to hear that. Amen. That's what my wife said. Yada. It was associated with bodily actions and gestures which accompanied praise. What'd I say? Dancing. All right, bodily action. Sometimes it's clapping your hands, right? Singing that song, How I Praise. This is how I praise you. It's okay to clap your hands in this church. Nobody's going to get on to you, all right? We would tell kids, you know, if we had little kids in here, we like to say this. You know, a lot of churches, they don't want you to let the wiggles out. We want you to let the wiggles out, you know. And if I got to tell you adults, we want you to let the wiggles out. We know sometimes your knee starts moving a little bit. You're like, yeah, this song's pretty good. Yeah, I kind of like this song. It's okay. Enjoy it. Don't call the hogs, but enjoy it, all right? And the last one was Zamar, and that is associated with playing or singing music. Playing or singing music. And if you don't know how to sing, you just got to go watch Elf, right? What did Elf say? What did Elf say? He's not a Christian, I don't think, but, you know, but singing is just talking. Singing is just talking. So you go, I can't sing. Just talk. Just let it out. Just let it out. Just say, God, you're so good. God, you're so good. And then you can put a little something to it. And then it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. Just let it out. Sing it out to God. And you're going to see God do great things in your life. You're going to see God do great things in people's lives around you. You're going to see things that seem like you couldn't overcome and that you couldn't deal with. You're going to be able to deal with it. And sometimes you've got to praise a little bit longer than you did the last time because that problem's a little bit bigger than the other one. And so you just keep on praising and praising and praising until that weapon of mass destruction takes charge. That's what God's got for you. I told you it's an encouraging message this morning. I don't want you to walk out of here going, well, preacher got on to me because I only just moved my knee when we sing, you know. No, no. I want you to leave going, man, preacher said I could do this. Maybe I can. Come on, coach. Put me in, coach. Put me in. I want to get excited. We don't have to be like anybody else. That's not what I'm saying. We don't have to look at another church or another, you know, group of people and go, oh, well, that's what we're supposed to be like. No, we're supposed to be like God's people and just praise him with exuberance and love and just, man, oh, it's exciting. I just love being able to praise God, and I'm glad that I get to lead worship for a time. I won't do it forever, but then when I'm down there with y'all, I'll get into it, okay? I'll be a part of it. Praise God. Let's pray. Can we go ahead and pray this morning? Praise God.